Hey, it's Joel Radio, everybody. Welcome back to the big show here. Corey Hall, how you doing?
L'chaim, Joel.
How are you? Corey is exhausted. He's just back from Comic-Con.
Yeah. Wall-to-wall coverage, everybody.
That's right, Corey. 4 intense days of cosplay.
Wow, man.
And
you don't know how sweaty you get in an Ewok costume.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I hand-stitched a Chief Chirpa costume.
Oh, my God.
Redid the whole end of Empire Strikes Back.
Did you really?
Or Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi.
Excuse me.
Welcome back to Joel Radio, everybody.
I saw a guy in a Ewok costume on G4.
Did you? Yeah.
G4, which is a horrible network.
Let's hope it's going away. There's talk that it may be going away.
The thing is, it is owned by Comcast, so I could see why.
Well,
they want to keep.
They're going to repurpose the channel, I think, is what the idea is. But it doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it's a possibility.
The problem is it's owned by Comcast, so like DirecTV won't carry it.
Right, which is weird, but I think if there was something more compelling on it, there might be some reason.
There's two shows that you can actually watch on G4, and maybe Ninja Warrior if you really want to get high and watch people jump off platforms. Ninja Warrior is the legit show compared to Wipeout, where it's like, hey, watch Fatty fall down, and the third host of the soup gets on there and says, oh, this chubby, you know, like.
Right. The purpose of it is to win, and the purpose of I guess the purpose of Wipeout is to win, too, but, like.
The purpose of Wipeout is to fall down.
And then they can bust your chops.
Some guy who used to be on SportsCenter and John Henson can sit there and goof on you. Like, you can't actually win on Wipeout.
Well, you can win. There's a winner.
I guess.
But it's not. That's not the purpose of the show, is to watch somebody
but the
do it well.
The gimmicks are rigged on there, so it's almost impossible to not fall in.
But
where Ninja Warrior, it's just really a challenging
it's
option.
Challenging. Course.
Anyway, G4 is a targeted demo network for 18 to 34-year-old males, which Joel and I are easing out of the demo.
My point is that, though, if
but they
G4
cover Comic-Con.
Was good, DirecTV would never pull it because they know they can pull it and no one's going to bitch about it because nobody watches it, too. And so it's another a little bit.
Well, a lot of the problem when that channel is the ghost of what was once Tech TV and was originally an all video game channel, which was when it was kind of.
That was.
It was never good, but it was more watchable because it was more coverage of things you were interested in.
Yeah. The problem is what they cover well or what they choose to, you know, what their focus is. Isn't on the channel most of the time.
Right.
What's on the channel most of the time is reruns of Cheaters and Cops.
Right.
Which it really
has
nothing to do
with. Well, they had a show with Ryan Dunn. How'd that work out?
Well, you know what? They pulled it when he died, but then they put it back on.
How many did they shoot?
I guess they shot enough to run it. Like, it was.
He was doing a Mythbuster show, and one of them was about how fast a car can hit a tree. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
That was inappropriate.
There you go. All right, folks. Well, that was
that was the show.
From here on out, it's all Amy Winehouse jokes, everybody. You go first, Corey.
Oh, Amy Winehouse. Anyway, G4 was covering Comic-Con, to get back to the point. And what they have two shows. There's X-Play, which is a video game review show.
Right.
Which they could put on another channel, and so it would be fine. It could put it on.
It'd be fine. People would go to tune in to watch it there, and
you know what I mean. It's not a great show. They've done. It used to be all comedy based. They've gotten rid of a lot of the sketch comedy. Then there's Attack of the Show, which is their omnibus recap show of all pop culture trends, and they review gadgets. And that show is now about how many chicks can we get into tight costumes.
No, I saw the chick that whoever their newsreader is.
Olivia Munn was on there, and she got to be a big star.
Well, she did. She used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's no
I said
longer.
She got to be a big star. She
was
had the
on Perfect Couples, which went away.
What happened? I didn't even see her on The Daily Show. She was a correspondent on
I don't
the Daily
know if
Show.
She still is or isn't.
I don't think she's still
I saw
anymore.
Her in some paparazzi photos doing, or some Newswire photos where she... She was cosplaying at Comic-Con, and I don't know what the point
you know
of that
who
was.
Else does that?
You think she would have graduated from that?
Adrienne Curry does
yeah,
that,
Yeah, well,
too.
Of course.
They kicked her out, by the way, of Comic-Con.
They kicked out Adrienne Curry?
Yes.
Why is that?
She was wearing an outfit that her ass was hanging out of the back of, and she was Aeon Flux, apparently.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and they kicked
that's
her
That's good.
That, apparently...
That show, you know, 20 years ago, you know what I mean? Yeah.
a cartoon on MTV 20 years ago, right. And they made a bad movie.
I'm going dressed as, I think you and I should go as Cramden and Norton from The Honeymooners. Really do some contemporary characters. Really just...
What if we did Abbott and Costello when they went to Mars? Remember that one?
I don't remember that, but that would be appropriate.
What happened is their rocket crashed at Mardi Gras, and they thought they were in space.
No, but they were really in Mardi.
Everybody was in costumes. So they were walking around, and they were like...
I don't remember that, Abbott and Costello.
You don't remember that?
No.
Oh, that was a terrible one.
I'm sure it was.
But yeah, there was Bud and Lou in spacesuits.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, people dress as the weirdest stuff at Comic-Con, right. And it's kind of... it is fun to kind of just look at all the idiots in costumes. But G4 now, they've actually gone as far as to hire a Playboy playmate. Sarah Underwood is now...
She was in Playboy that
year?
Yeah,
okay. That's their new piece of...
Yeah, I saw her. They dressed her up in some outfit the other day to read the news. But
so they put her in outfits and they run around.
It's come down to porn.
That's
now,
what that show
much.
Is. Oh, there's a show with Sasha Grey that hosts it. That's like a porn review show.
Yeah.
They talk about porn.
That's enough. Let's not talk
All right, about fine. Kind of like... But I watched some of that over the weekend. Yeah, well. That never ended, con.
All right. Well, I'm glad to know you had a great weekend. I largely didn't have power this past weekend.
That's fun.
So it was not good.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually ended good because I went to the Paul McCartney concert Sunday night. But Thursday and Friday and early parts of Saturday, we were without power.
Well, that's because
Ferndale, Michigan.
Ferndale, Michigan, the wonderful hamlet, the city by the sea. Ferndale is an outer, it's an inner ring suburb. They talk inner ring and outer
ring. It borders Detroit, so it's called a first ring.
And if you've never been to Detroit, Detroit is a absurdly sprawling metroplex.
Yes.
What we call Detroit. Uh-huh. The actual city is, first of all, the actual city is massive.
Yeah, it is.
Like, you could fit two Bostons and parts of Cleveland into Detroit.
The city of Detroit is
a
large
physical
place,
size of the city is like 16 or miles or something.
It's big, yeah.
It's huge. And then everything's a sprawling metro. Ferndale's like the closest inner ring suburb to the city,
just to the north.
And it's got 70-year-old infrastructure. So every summer, when it gets hot and everybody turns on their air conditioning, the power grid blows.
They claim that it
happens pretty frequently.
But they called them in front of the city council on Monday.
DTE.
And they called the power company and they said, well, what's going on? And they, wouldn't answer the question. They were, completely evasive, and they couldn't give answers as to why. But my feeling is this. Ferndale isn't even a city where, everybody has central air conditioning, which would be the main draw of power.
Yeah, because there's older houses.
Right.
Here.
And just knowing my neighbors and who has central air, I mean, it's less than 50% on my block, I'm guessing. I don't
I would guess
Palatial Joel Radio Studios.
Most of the houses in Ferndale were built between the 30s and the 50s.
Well, this was built in the 20s, so I would say
right,
the 20s.
Okay. So the 20s to the 50s. 50s,
yeah.
So there are a lot of older houses around here. And
yeah, so I mean, it's not even like Ferndale is that big of a, where you have these giant homes being, air conditioned. I mean, there is population density. And there are a lot of businesses, and at night I could see where there would be some draw from, restaurants and what would you call it? Kitchens and that kind of stuff.
Well,
commercial
that's the thing. It's residentially, it's probably 40,000 people, but at night it's
The population swells because people come to Ferndale,
right?
As
because
a
it's an entertainment spot
to hang out and drink and eat and stuff like that. But they lost power. We started our second week of Stand Up and Go at Go Comedy. Which is the new open mic.
One of the many attractions you could come and see in Ferndale, Michigan.
And we were one. I was one comic. First of all, the building lost air conditioning for not related to the power, but just their status of their equipment died. So the room was about 95 degrees.
Yeah.
And I had Jeff Dawoskin on stage, who
was
the first guy up after me. And, you could say the Lord don't take much to Jeff's jokes. Or you could say that just it was that.
Are you telling jokes up there, G-boy? We ain't cotton to your kind, telling
so
jokes.
So anyway, the power went out
funny.
To the entire city at 10:25 p.m.
Yeah.
Right at the beginning of
went
the Stand Up
out.
And Go show.
Yeah.
And Corey, I think he had just shown up.
I was
up,
driving in, and the city was
and
dark.
And the city went dark, so Corey shows up. And we all have to flood out of the building, and there was a big crowd. We had a real nice crowd. Thanks to everybody who came out to the second week of Stand Up and Go. And, the goddamn show was canceled, and it was just, it's horrible. It was a horrible weekend in Ferndale. It was about 100 degrees that day.
Right.
I think it was the hottest day in 16 years, they said, in Metro Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
that last
Thursday. It's been hot everywhere in America.
Yeah, but not today. Today's a nice day.
That's not bad.
Today's
a little
nice
drizzly.
Day,
so, whatever.
So we had no power, and
last night it cooled down for the first time. It had been over. There hadn't been a night. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You get hot nights.
The nights had been steamy, high 70s, low 80s.
Yeah.
And then finally last night, it was, like, very pleasant.
That's the thing in, like, L.A., it's a desert.
Uh-huh.
And it gets hot as hell during the day uh-huh. in the summer. But at night, it's a desert.
Right.
So it gets down to, like, 60 degrees every night.
Right.
That we haven't had that all summer in Detroit.
Detroit is like muggy and swampy.
Been a hot, yeah. swampy bug. Oh, anyway. So power outage is great. There you go. Electrical grid. We don't need infrastructure. That's fine. Nope.
Well, there are people who are saying, like, now the city needs to be off. You know, that's why people need to have their own wind turbines and solar panels and shit. And I don't know that that's the answer. I think the answer is that a giant utility company has neglected its equipment. And
there's the problem is that it's an old, overtaxed power
sure.
supply. And they need a new.
They need to do that. Yeah, they need to upgrade that.
Yeah.
Because, that would be the answer.
Because every year something blows.
That would be the fix. I mean, I've lived here for about 6 years, and that's the longest, like, multi-day. Now, I think there are people in Ferndale who had it worse than I did.
Right.
Because some people lost power on Wednesday and didn't get it back till Saturday morning or Sunday morning. But for me, it was like, you know, it was off for, like, 4 hours one night and, like, an hour and a half the next night. It really wasn't all that bad.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people had it worse than I did.
Right.
So I was on the good end of the power outages. But they're saying that some people had it much worse than I did. And so for me, I can only remember one day, like last summer, that we lost power, at least in this house.
Well,
so.
I lived in Ferndale for about 6.5 years yeah. and lost power probably 3 times. So
yeah.
it's kind of common.
People say it's common, but I think it's also very localized to wherever you live.
It's localized.
Here, it was not. It's never really been that bad.
It's to Ferndale.
I remember losing power once in the winter.
Yeah.
Or having like just a trickle of power where the furnace wouldn't run. And that was brutal. I spent the night in the cold one night. Yeah. And I remember one day last year, I lost power, and I went to the movies and saw Micmacs.
Oh.
That's why I remember that.
Wow. I barely remember that
yeah,
movie.
Exactly. But I saw Micmacs.
Yeah, you know.
In the afternoon.
And I'm all for, if you want to put solar panels on all the roofs,
right.
go right ahead.
Sure.
The problem is, that's not the problem.
Right.
The problem is that it's the conduit, it's the delivery system.
Exactly.
It's
yeah.
the grid.
Yeah.
It's these old wires and old transformers
mm-hmm.
that aren't rigged to handle the power needs. Like I said,
yeah.
if it was a transformer from 50 years ago, well, nobody was running 6 laptops
yeah.
and PCs
but at
and
the same time,
big screen TVs.
But at the same time, I think there are things that are more efficient now. I think lights are more efficient than they
sure.
used to be. Refrigerators, things like that are more efficient. So in a way, I don't know. I think it's – I don't know that how much more power we're actually using in our home.
No, but the equipment's old.
Yeah,
it's time for it a rethinking
Fix our shit.
Of the electrical grid.
Fix our
and,
shit.
And I just have to take an important message for a moment, and this is not reflected by anyone who listens to the show because this is a podcast. So by nature, if you understand how a podcast and an RSS feed
yeah.
works and you can – get it, find a URL. You're not the intended audience for this, but let me just point out, you fucking idiots with the light bulbs.
Would what you about stop? The light bulbs?
The old people that are like upset about the incandescent light bulbs.
Can oh, yeah, that's, there's
this nothing. This is the dumbest, Brian Williams.
Well, who's upset? What? I've not heard a lot of outrage
oh, God.
About
okay,
this.
Okay, Brian Williams, who I generally like on NBC,
yeah.
On the nightly news on NBC, uh-huh. which I don't watch really, but every now and then I'll watch it.
Okay.
I've probably watched it 12 times in about 6 months.
Okay.
I've seen 3 reports about the incandescent light bulb.
What is the big controversy?
They
I don't even
don't,
know what
they're... because they're
the
being,
ban is going into effect, I'm guessing, next year or something.
They're being phased out.
Right.
It's not even a ban. They're just saying it's much the same way with TVs, the way that they moved into digital TVs.
Sure, yeah.
Right? They're just phasing out.
But there
the
is a date
bulb.
For a cutoff, though.
Yeah, like there's a date where they're going to stop producing them.
Yeah. Okay. What are people upset about?
Because they're old. They're like, well, it doesn't light up the same way.
Yes, there are people that.
First of all, I can't tell this. I maybe the light is slightly harsher.
Well, first of all, if you put your light inside a fixture, like here, the lights above you
yeah.
are compact fluorescent light bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also in a fixture, which means
right.
that the light is being filtered through glass before it gets to you. So really, whatever light you put in there is still going to
yeah.
have some, you know, I mean,
well, here's one of the complaints I've heard. They go,
what's that?
Well, wait,
no, yeah,
watch how long
yeah,
it takes to
out.
Light up. Now watch
yeah,
this.
Watch this.
Wow.
Okay. To the,
It took a nanosecond to switch on.
They're warm, so they turned right back on right away.
Yeah, yeah.
If you come in, if those lights are out all night, it takes about a third to a half of a second for them to turn on. It really does. So,
People go, well, when you flick a switch, the incandescent light bulb turns right on, and you don't have to wait for your light. And I went, are you the fucking Flash?
Yeah. Yeah.
How is every second like a year to you?
Well, you know,
are you moving that quickly?
An old man may, in that second, in a third of a second, fall down and break his hip or something. He might trip over the dog.
And the other thing, incandescent light bulbs generally are putting out more heat than they actually are light.
These are also complex,
right? So that's good.
Lighting.
Maybe in the winter you would like to heat your house with your light bulbs.
But that's
not a terribly efficient system.
It's not. Well, heat, if a light is producing heat, that's wasted energy.
Right.
All of the electricity should be producing light and not heat.
And also in the summertime, I don't want a light that produces heat.
Exactly.
I'm going to sit under my, lights in my anyway. There's old people out there. People will complain about anything.
Yeah, I agree. I think that incandescent light bulb is...
They're getting better, by the way. Now... Actually, this is not even – we're not even done with this technology, because what's going to happen is we're going to shift from compact fluorescents to LEDs.
Yes, that will happen too.
And that's light-emitting diodes.
Yes.
And those are even more efficient than the compact fluorescents.
Yes.
The complaint about fluorescents is they break and they're filled with mercury.
They are filled with mercury.
Don't break them, you fucking
don't break
klutzes.
Them. They're hard to break.
They're harder to break than a regular light
exactly.
bulb.
Exactly.
Because it's a coil.
Right.
It's harder – complex structure, but if you do break it, could be mercury.
You're supposed to wear a dust mask and sweep it up into a bag something. Yeah, whatever.
But anyway, this is the dumbest complaint.
It is
because I put in fluorescents in my apartment.
Yeah,
in everything except maybe the bathroom, because it's got those like showroom bulbs.
Sure, I know what you mean.
You know what
the
mean?
Big, the big giant, round.
The dressing room bulb.
Yeah, okay.
Ones.
They do make those in a compact.
I guess they do make those in LEDs, but I got to find them. Yeah. Anyway, I put those in, like, we've been in our apartment for like 3.5 years.
Yeah.
I put them in like 2.5 years ago. I've never had to change a bulb.
Exactly. Yeah, you won't have to
change
them.
And I won't change a bulb again.
You're probably not.
For a long time.
They say it's 10 times the lifetime.
It's 10 times the lifetime for less energy.
Yeah.
So your electric bill is cheaper.
Yeah.
Stop it. Shut up.
Yeah, people
shut
should,
up with your stupid
people should shut up.
Incandescent bulb.
I agree that
that's the dumbest thing.
It doesn't make sense to me. Yeah, you're right.
But some people are like, they just, that even the notion that they're doing something green is horrible.
But I hate greenies. I hate, these hardcore environmentalists. But even I see the benefits.
But if it's something like that makes sense.
It's not,
there's
not,
it's completely.
It's a better technology.
Completely illogical,
it's
scientifically proven benefit.
I mean, if they were inferior, believe me, I would not put inferior lights in if I thought they were, it's fine. Because, I used to put, even in this house, I used to put incandescent bulbs on my porch, and I run that porch light all night. I was changing that thing 3 times a year because it would run all night.
Right.
And then finally I said, I got wise and said, let me put a compact fluorescent in there. I haven't changed it since.
There you go.
It's been years.
There it is.
There it is. All right.
Shut up, you old buzzards.
Shut up, people.
Speaking of old buzzards.
Can I talk about Paul McCartney?
Yeah.
I have my ticket right here. Here it all is. Right. There's my ticket. Look at that.
There it is.
The On the Run Tour at Comerica Park. Sunday, July 24th.
Oh, wow.
6 p.m. So, yeah, good time.
He's still on the run.
He's still on the run. So, I don't know what he's running from now. He's on the run.
He's running from the Grim Reaper. That's who he's running from.
He's running from that wife with one leg.
That one. I think he can outpace her.
I think so. But, yeah.
Hobbles.
Yeah, I had never been to, I'd seen Paul McCartney. The last time I saw Paul McCartney was in February of 1990.
Oh, wow.
And people were complaining he was too old then.
Well, sure.
And this is 21 years ago that I last saw Paul in concert.
Yeah.
So I was long overdue, so I got these tickets. I did not have – and Corey, I was talking about this on the phone, but I'll show you where I was actually sitting because you were curious about – this is – that is my vantage point there. I don't know. I think you can see that pretty good.
Yeah, sure.
So you can see I was right behind – there's third base there. I'm behind third base. And so I was in the upper deck behind third base, about 6 rows up, not too far. And I zoomed in a little bit there. But you can see there are thousands of people on the floor. All of these floor tickets were $250.
Wow.
Which is a fucking shitload of money. And then to sit in the lower deck, it was $125.
Mm.
And then I think I had the next tier ticket, which was about $60.
Wow.
And I sat in the, I guess, the good section.
They had this at Comerica Park, the baseball stadium. They tarped out the whole outfield.
Right. Well, I think it's some sort of metal grating that they put down in squares. And then they put the chairs on top of that. And then, there's the infield that is was sort of barricaded off.
Well, it's got a, there's like a speaker rig on
home plate. Yeah, on home plate, they put an extended speaker rig. And there's a couple of these two around first and third that provided some extra sound for those in the back.
So, but you really, I mean, if you sat it way back, like behind home plate, you're really far away.
But I'll tell you what, I did not see any empty seats from where I was sitting. I don't know if it was an official sellout or not. It was some stormy weather, so I took some pictures of that, too. But it only rained for about 10 minutes. And then here's some from the show. You can see what everybody filled in there on the main
floor. Yeah.
But a really great show. I mean, you got to give credit to the guy because he is 69 years old, and he did a three-hour show. Really? Literally, I think it was like about 2 hours and 50 minutes.
Yeah.
He played, I want to say, 39 tracks or something. I have the set list here on this. He played 36, according to this, but some of them were medleys. Of, you know, you have because he ended with the Golden Slumbers, Carry That Weight, the end thing, the end of the Abbey Road album.
Did he do Her Majesty?
He did not do Her Majesty, but then he also did.
Here's the part of the show where it turns into Beatle Nerd Fest.
Well, it does, but you know, but he did. You know, he did A Day in the Life and Give Peace a Chance as a medley.
Yeah,
so he did a little tribute to John Lennon there. He did something where he started out on a ukulele playing sort of a solo version, and then the full band kicked in, and they had pictures of George Harrison behind him. So it was, people got all weepy.
Hey, John and George are dead. What are they going to do?
Yeah, but well, there were no pictures of John, which I found weird. I guess Yoko must have said, hey, fuck you, you can't use pictures of John.
So he there were lots pictures of George?
But lots of pictures of George, so it was a little odd. But you know, not that anyone cared. Because he also did his song Here Today, which is his tribute to John Lennon that he wrote in 1982.
Wow.
Which is a little acoustic number. And he gave a big speech about John. But it was really good. He did Blackbird solo, which was really cool because people were like going nuts for that. And just a good show. I mean, 30. And I'll tell you what, he was in really good voice, and he didn't look too old. He had plenty of energy. Now, when McCartney tours now, he only does like one or two shows a week. Mm-hmm. He doesn't go out and do like five, six shows a week like a lot of the young guys do. He flies in, does one, and flies back to, you know, the Hamptons or wherever he lives in America, and then comes back. But I'll tell you what, he did, you know, his whole, the end of the main set was, he did A Day in the Life, and then he did Let It Be, and so now he's at the piano, and then he does Live and Let Die, which is this massive fucking explosions and shit going on. I think I have a little bit on video. I don't know if you want to watch. Here, watch some of this. Here. It was really cool. Look at that. Comerica Park just blowing up.
A big, giant fireworks
display. Yeah, they had a big, giant fireworks display for the, I don't know how much people can hear this. You'll also hear me yelling, you know, tittering behind this. But
tittering?
Yes.
How are you tittering?
I don't know. It was me yelling.
You do have kind of a girly giggle, don't you?
I think so.
Fruity.
When you got a job to do.
Oh, no. Let's hear Joel singing along.
You can hear me singing along in the room. I think that's me yelling in the background.
God, you are a million miles away.
Well, there's big screens. You can see everything. It looks farther away in the camera than when you're there.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow, that's far away.
Well, listen,
I mean, no, it's Paul McCartney. You got to go. It's a Beagle. You got to go. Yeah. Hey,
I couldn't sit real
close. I have never seen Paul McCartney.
I did
McCartney.
Not have the money to sit close.
I've never seen Paul McCartney or Ringo.
But I had a great time. We had a great time.
George,
so it was a good
when
show.
He was around.
Yeah, Ringo comes through. I've seen Ringo once, and I've seen Paul now twice. And Ringo puts on a good show. Quality of the All-Star Band has faded over the years.
Sure.
He now has the guy from Mr. Mister doing Kyrie and Broken Wings, and it's kind of like it's not. You know, he used to have Jack Bruce, like the guys from Cream, and the guys from the E Street Band when they were broken up, and he had some real good people in the band, and over the years it's kind of, it's fallen off.
It's when you really think about it, the Beatles were around 50 years ago.
Yeah, it's a long fucking time ago.
It's sad.
Yeah, it is. A lot of those guys are dead.
I did get to see James Brown.
Okay, you saw James, yeah.
I saw James Brown, and, sure. and I got like five rows away.
Not good.
Because he played the state fair.
yeah.
But it was James Brown with Little Richard opening.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. I never saw either of them.
Yeah, I mean.
I guess Little Richard might come around
like,
now.
I usually think like, I don't, you know, I've never seen the Stones, blah, who cares.
Yeah, I saw the Stones.
But I go, now I'm when they all die, I'm going to finally
You're going to want to say, I saw Paul McCartney. Yeah. So he did some good stuff.
I saw the Ramones.
Okay, yeah. They're
all kicked off now.
Dead, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, the Ramones because Joey's
dead. Except like Marky.
But wasn't Joey the only guy that was in it the whole time, or was there one other guy?
No,
that was
Johnny there? And... Wait.
No, I think only two guys were around the whole time.
But they were the... It was the leaders.
Yeah. The guitar player and
Dee Dee was there a lot for a long most of it. Right. But he left at a certain point.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Okay.
All the Ramones. But anyway... That's cool. Good for you.
Yeah, go and if he comes back, you should go. And I would go again because it's funny. He only does like he'll do like 7 or 8 American cities a year.
Right.
So I was like, shit. I was gonna go to Atlanta a couple years ago to go see him, but then it's like,
but he hasn't.
You gotta pay for a fucking.
He hasn't been here in like 15 years.
No, he was here in 2005, I think, at the Palace. But when he does the Palace, it sells out instantaneously almost. So it's very hard to get tickets because it's a smaller venue.
Well, the Palace only seats.
I don't know, for a concert, it's probably 20 or 19 or something like that. And I'm guessing there was 40 for this Comerica Park show at least, because the outfield was tarped off because they were behind the stage. But I think I was looking up, the Comerica Park holds 45 for baseball.
Okay.
If it's jam-packed standing room, so I don't know what it helped Paul McCartney. Because they added the field and then they took away the outfield, so I don't know what the difference was. But
yeah.
Real good times. We get a chance to see Paul McCartney. He's coming to Cincinnati and Chicago.
To the Natty.
So definitely go see Paul live. And it was outside, and it could have sucked if it would have rained all the time, but only rained for a couple minutes before the show. So it was real good.
Well, there you go.
As a Beatles fan.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a great night. Sure. So I'm glad that...
Joel had a little boner the whole time.
I'm sitting so far away. It was good, though. I was fine.
He couldn't see your boner.
He couldn't see
you were sitting
boner.
So far away.
I'll tell you what, though. There were some old ladies in the crowd that were like, we love Paul so much. He's so beautiful. He's so gorgeous. God. And it's like, there's some old dry. You know what I mean? You go like,
are they still screaming?
And you just go, yeah. Like when they scream for like, he did All My Loving, which was the first song they did on Ed Sullivan.
Right.
You know, and they, ah! And they were like, and it's like, come on, ladies.
I don't know about you, but I'm going to be.
It was not a raucous crowd, let's say that. I mean, people were into it, but it wasn't like, you know.
I'm going to be somewhat relieved when our parents are all gone. I'm going to really be.
How are you feeling when there's no one older than you on the planet?
That's going to be awful.
Yeah, that's going to be awful.
It's coming, though.
Well, okay.
It'll come eventually.
It's a few years off.
Yeah.
People are living longer.
It's 40 or 50 years off.
40 or 50 years.
There'll be a day. That's kind of the best. Actually, the day when you're the oldest guy.
That's the best?
Yeah, because you're like, fuck all you bitches.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. Whatever. I'm just, I've had enough.
Paul's 69 and he's still doing, and what I was going to say about that though, is like he looked, you know, he did Live and That Die. I was sure of the video.
Right.
And then he sat down to do Hey Jude and he, for the first time to me in the concert, looking at the big screen, he looked kind of tired.
Yeah.
He flubbed a line. And then he flubbed a line in Lady Madonna, which was the first encore.
Yeah.
So I think 3 hours might be a little too much for him to be doing at this point. And then he recovered and he was fine for the rest of it.
Though, appears to be, by all accounts, one of those like genetic freaks. Like,
maybe.
You know what I mean?
Just, yeah.
The guy's always had energy and he's
right.
Consider the things that you've done in your life.
Sure.
And how tired you've ever been.
Exactly, yes.
Now consider what Paul McCartney has done in his life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The travel.
Yeah.
That guy could have gone to Jupiter the times he circled the Earth in a plane.
Yeah, probably.
Right?
Yeah.
And just all the...
But I think it's one of those things, too, that when you do something you love, Paul's never really had... He's never had a regular job.
Yeah, you know, on the other hand, the last thing I want to hear is how hard people in entertainment work.
Right, yeah.
Go piss up a rock.
I think that those guys, they don't... You know, then they don't have that stress in their lives over money and stuff like... Regular
people. It's a
different
kind of stress.
It's a different stress.
It's a whole different world.
Yeah. But they don't have the day to day, you know, worries that maybe people do.
No, Paul has to be worried that someone's screwing him out of millions of dollars.
Exactly, yeah.
As opposed to me going, can I get my $25, please, for this open mic? Whatever. You know?
No reason to bitch about that.
You got to worry that a comedy club check
is going to clear.
You know? Yeah. Me, a thousandaire. I have a lot of worries.
A thousandaire, Corey. Yes. Corey drives a nice new car, though.
That's true. For once.
For once.
As long as you've
known. That you'll have for 10 years, probably.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'll have this car
exactly,
for a while.
Yeah.
It'll be old
My
again.
Car is 10 years old, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
In the end, it'll be, believe me, yeah, I'll have this car.
I had a nice new car when you had a piece of crap, and, you know, whatever, and look at us now.
Hey, now.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think the rear speakers in my car are no longer working.
Yeah.
Which is kind of annoying.
Like, for once, I have a car that's under 4 years old.
You do have a
you know, Mike, but it's like two.
Yeah, it's
my
two.
Car's already 2 years
it's
old.
Two.
So there you
it's
go.
It's good, though. Two's good.
Oh.
All right, so what else? What's next? Well, I got to mention this just before we go on, because we'll talk about movies and TV, I think, on the way out here. Some internet stuff. There's going to be a new website for Joel Radio, kind of.
Okay.
And what I mean by that, and this is, and believe me, if you're not a geek, you're not going to care. And for most people, it may not even affect you at all. But let me explain what's happening. JoelRadio.net, which is the URL for the show, is not really the URL. In fact, it redirects to CoreyandJoelRadio.com, which was the original website. But when I called the show Joel Radio, I set up a new domain, which forwards over to CoreyandJoelRadio.com. Well, what's going to happen starting before the next show, so between the time you're hearing this and the time the next show is posted, is that JoelRadio.net will become a fully hosted domain. It will no longer redirect to CoreyandJoelRadio.com. However, I will be importing all of the content from Corey and Joel Radio, so we'll all be on the new site, JoelRadio.net, and the Corey and Joel Radio website, as it exists right now, will still exist, so if you have old links to that, you can still link to all the old content and all of the old shows. But the new shows will only be on JoelRadio.net, but what's most important for people to know is that the RSS feed is going to change. And I don't know what the new one will
be. Oh my God, I'm freaking out!
All right, come, please. And calm down.
Oh, noes! A new RSS feed!
But...
what will happen?
I'm told that the plugin for... because I'm
freaking out, Joel!
I'm converting to a new version of WordPress. I'm using a very old movable type right now for the show. And
yeah.
It's time to upgrade that shit because it's really... The new WordPress, which I use for JoelTheComic.com, I thought was really cool. And there's a podcasting plugin that makes it all automatic and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, maybe this will be of help. And I tested it out.
Now, how will people find us on Podcast Pickle?
You know what? Actually, all of those links, I think anybody that like Podcast Alley, I think those links are all going to be dead. But what's going to happen with iTunes, which is really what pretty much everybody uses right now, is that it will automatically update the iTunes RSS feed.
Okay.
Now, it could take a couple of weeks, so if you're using...
Is Podcast Alley Steven
you know what? I guess it is. I'm guessing it is.
Hmm.
It's Adam Curry's site, right?
Hmm. Is that what it is? The Podfather.
The Podfather, Adam Curry.
You know what's funny? Sirius has all of those old VJs.
Oh, do they really?
Like, yeah, they're all on like the 80s channel.
Okay.
They've got like Alan Hunter and Martha Quinn. And
J.J. Jackson.
Dead.
J.J. Jackson's dead.
Yeah. What's the other one?
Mark Goodman.
Mark Goodman.
Yeah.
They're all on Sirius, except Alan, except for the Podfather.
What's the Martha? What's her name?
Martha Quinn.
Martha Quinn. Where's she on? She's still on there?
She's on there. They do like the 80s channel. The 80s. Nina Blackwood.
Nina Blackwood, of course.
They're
the hottest.
There. Yeah.
Still jerking off to Nina Blackwood.
I liked Martha Quinn. Personally.
You liked Martha Quinn.
A little more down home girl, you know, a little girl next door kind of appeal.
All right.
Anyway.
But so anyway, the new site will hopefully be up by. So anyway, if you go to JoelRadio.net, instead of redirecting to CoreyandJoelRadio.com, you'll stay on JoelRadio.net. But all the shows, all the archives, I've already checked this. I've already tested this. I wouldn't announce this if it didn't work. We'll all transfer into the new WordPress. And I also found that...
but Joel, will there be an app? Will there be an app for my palm?
There will probably not be an app for you.
No.
Well, I don't know. I don't know even know what the site will look like in a mobile
can
setting.
Can we get the show on my BlackBerry?
Yeah, I think you can. Yes, okay. You can. And, you know, you'll be able to play the show. You'll
what about on
a...
Spotify?
I don't think...
Can I get
the
show on Spotify?
But there will be a Flash player built into the site, just as it always was. And so you can... It's really not going to be a whole lot different, but there is going to be a change. And I'm just announcing this because the RSS feed, make sure that you get that. I'll send it out on the mailing list. I'll make sure that... I'll probably even do a special podcast just for the old RSS feed that'll say, like, hey, go to the new site, get the new RSS feed. Because if you use something like Juice, which is actually a piece of software that I still use, I think it was it used to be called iPod or X, and now it's called Juice.
Okay.
And that is something that you manually put in the RSS feed, and then it'll download the shows for you. I use that instead of...
Okay.
I do not use iTunes to get my podcasts.
Well, I'm bored already.
I bet you are. So joelradio.net will be a fully formed site. And actually, you'll be able to leave comments. So the message board is going away. The message board will still be there, the old one, but... For the new site, you'll be able to leave comments about the show there, which is cool. So you can leave a comment right there on the site.
Much like on conventional radio,
yeah.
I find that there's only so many people that will actually sign up for a message board.
Sure, yeah.
People don't want to take the 30 seconds it takes to put their name in and put an email address and sign up and put a little avatar up.
Yep.
They don't want to do that.
Exactly.
And so I get a feeling like there's people that would never comment or message or say anything.
So
people will tell me personally or will send me a message personally
about the show.
And they'll say, I heard this and that. And I go, well, comment. Yeah. Let us know. Feedback.
Yeah. So you'll be able to leave comments right there on the front page, right in the show, right where the show is listed. You can leave your comments right on there and we can answer those and respond.
You can call us douchebags right to our face. Go ahead.
So all of that, the mailing list, I don't know what, I guess the mailing list will be the same mailing list, I guess. I don't know. That I haven't figured out yet, but that's fine. But anyway, and also I want to announce that we are both on Google Plus.
Yeah, sir.
Corey and myself.
Yeah.
Under our real names, because there is no show,
Can't hide.
You can't
Google
do a
Plus.
Trademark at this point.
Right.
But so you can, branding is coming to it. But if you want to add us to Google Plus, because my idea is I have a plan. What I would like to do is actually put a video version of the show live while we're doing it on Google Plus. Because they have a video. They have a thing called a hangout, and I could start a hangout, and people could come watch it. It's a possibility, but we need followers and fans on Google Plus. So,
all right.
If you're a fan of the show, add us on Google Plus. Joel Fragamenti and Corey Hall were on there, and you can find Niels on there, of course, and Cam.
Oh yeah,
they're on there as well.
Hey.
So, if you wanna... so I'm thinking that's what I may do in the future with Google Plus is use that to put out a video of the show.
I don't know what I'm doing with Google Plus.
Yeah.
I got an invite, and everybody was all talking about,
can
I get an invite to Google Plus?
Yes.
And then you get on there and you go, this is exactly the same shit.
I couldn't wait to sign up for Google Plus, and I didn't know you were on it.
Right.
So I ended up I actually trolled a Facebook message board to get one.
I would have sent you an invite.
And then I ended up inviting a bunch of people that I put up a thing on Facebook. If you want an invite, do it. And, you know, a dozen people or so took me up on the offer. Yeah. So right now, I got about 24 friends on Google Plus.
It's like I've got 700-something on Facebook, and now I've got like 25 on Google Plus. And you go, So I got to start this all over
and
again?
I would want to – and I'll tell you, I do want to use Google Plus because I like the circles. I like that if I want to only communicate with a certain group of people,
sure,
I can do that very easily. I can update that circle with – news about my open mic or news about
Facebook,
the podcast.
Facebook is sort of aggressively against the whole notion of privacy or directing content.
Yeah, it's weird. It's
and that's annoying about it.
You can manually add people, but you can. I mean, I guess can you do? I guess you can do groups, but they have to exist in their own thing, and people have to manually opt into them. Isn't that the idea?
I guess.
Like for example, John Tenney is making a movie.
Yeah.
Not going to talk much about
So
there's a group for the people making John Tenney's movie.
A secret group.
But I think that you have to. I don't know if you have to opt into it or they can put you into it.
Our fantasy football league has a private Google or private Facebook group.
Okay.
So I think you can do stuff like that.
But at the same time, like can't. But the dealing of the circle is my thing. It's not a public thing. What I have a circle of, like I have a circle of Joel Radio fans. I have a circle of comedians. I know I have a circle of friends are not, you know,
that's the best part is when you decide where people will go in the circles because you can, you know, I have comedians, I have friends, I have douchebags.
You have a douchebag circle.
No, I should though.
But if you did, you wouldn't have to, because another thing I like about it is it's not reciprocal.
What if we had a circle that was like humps? What do we used to have a list? We had like Yutz's humps.
I know what you're talking about.
We
did have a list.
We categorized everybody.
Well, the point of it though is that it's not reciprocal. I can add you to my circles on Google Plus. You don't have to add me. It's not like a thing like Facebook.
And you don't see me either.
And then I don't have to see you.
I mean, you know, I right. could put you into the Dago cocksucker friend exactly. circle, and you wouldn't know.
And I would know I'm in the. I'm sure. I'm sure if I went in your circles, there would be a Dago cocksucker circle, and hopefully I'm not in it. But
maybe yeah, I should put that in there.
Yeah, but that's one of the things I like about it. So I actually would like fans of this show, if they want to join Google Plus. And they're not already on. First of all, they can add us, and I'll see that you added me, and I'll add you if you're a fan. You can also send me an email at joel@joelthecomic.com, or you can email the show at email@coreyandjoelradio.com. Corey's on Facebook. I'm on Facebook.
I'm on Twitter.
So Corey's on Twitter.
Corey Hall Comic, @CoreyHallComic on Twitter. So follow me there.
If you want to join Google Plus and you don't have an invite yet, I'll hook you up with one if you let me know you want one. And then hopefully I can do more show-related stuff on Google Plus. I would like to do that.
I resisted Twitter for the longest time.
Yeah, what are you doing on Twitter? I'm not even following you on
it's
Twitter.
It's fine.
What are you doing?
I make little jokes.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do what everybody does on Twitter.
You go.
You know what you do on Twitter? If you're a comedian, you go, I don't think this is worthy of a bit, but I'll throw out a line.
I'll put it on Twitter.
I'll put a gag up. Yeah. And a lot of guys spam the hell out of jokes.
Yeah.
But what is cool about Twitter is like Albert Brooks is on Twitter.
You can read what Albert Brooks says.
Steve Martin. And they put little jokes.
Okay.
You know? But you will learn really quickly who not to follow on Twitter.
Well.
Some people put up. Adrienne Curry puts up pictures of her vagina.
You want those?
Well, I'm just saying.
Well.
Some people do. That's what she does all day.
Yeah.
She goes, I'm bored, and takes pictures of herself. Yeah. And puts them on Twitter.
I'm on Twitter as
I'm not following Ronnie the limo driver.
Yeah,
from
don't do that.
I'm going. He's annoying.
I'm on there as Upchuck the Clown, and I have like 2,600 followers.
Mm.
But I only follow about 10 people.
Sure.
And those 10 people I follow are people that are like the guys on the label, like ICP and Twisted and those guys. I don't follow a lot of people because. I find that Twitter, your Twitter page, your feed, gets so bloated and so full of garbage that if somebody that I do want to see post something, I can't see it because it's buried under a bunch of shit.
If you think Facebook is full of crap.
No, I know Twitter's full of crap.
Twitter is loaded with nonsense.
Then how many people do you follow?
Right now, I'm following maybe 20-some people.
Okay.
And I only have 20 or something.
What's the breakdown of who you follow? Friends?
Yeah, it's mostly there's a handful of famous comics like, you know, Steve Martin and I think Sarah Silverman. I've only Andy Kindler, people like that I just go, if they pop up, I go, oh, I'll follow them.
All right.
Simon Pegg.
Okay.
You know, I haven't put a lot of effort into Twitter so far. I've only been on it for like 2 weeks.
Right.
So but please follow me at Corey Hall Comic and I will put I don't know what I'll post.
Yeah.
It could be whatever I'm thinking at the time.
Well, I should really start posting these shows on there as well.
Well,
you can put them on Twitter. I'm putting them on.
The only reason I did Twitter was that I noticed that people were retweeting my movie reviews.
Right.
So I'm just going to put my movie reviews up there.
Oh, and by the way, and this is something that in your Twitter, the new website will have a Twitter and a Facebook and hopefully a Google Plus button. Where you can instantly tweet. Yeah, because I do that on joelthecomic.com. And if people like it, they'll actually tweet. They can actually tweet a link to that blog entry.
It's all a way to get more exposure. None of it's going to work.
Right.
Well, no one will care. We've been doing this show.
Go ahead.
When Joel and I started doing this show, when we made that fateful trip to Guitar Center. those many moons ago.
March of 2005.
There were probably, what? A couple hundred people doing podcasts?
It was very few, yeah. It was not many.
And now, and we did so many wonderful things in the early days of the show. They're all still in the archives.
Go back and listen to the old days.
Jerk Off Home Companion.
Well, those are bonus features. A lot of those are sort of in the ether.
Are those in the ether?
Some of those are gone.
Maybe we'll need to find a way to put those all into a special archive.
I'll put that somewhere.
How about... A premium bonus.
A premium package. There you go.
What do you think about that?
I think it's good. I will do a nerd jerk off webcam show for the premium members. I'm kidding about that.
Joel
will ever say it.
Joel will spank it.
Corey's shocked by the news that yes.
Folks, if you want to spank along with Joel. That's it.
You know what's sad is that someone would probably sign up for that.
What if you did? Well, there would be like a site. Where
I'd have to refund
goes,
their money.
You know, today I'll be spanking it to tug jobs on on the Bang Brothers sites.
A community porn watching website.
Right.
I like that idea, Corey.
What? You just turned into a. You just turned into Eddie Pepitone. But no, seriously. Like today, we'll be spanking it to MILF Hunter.
Yeah.
And then you just pick the site of the day, and everybody goes and this is the you pick a video and you go
the,
everybody
the video plays for everybody and then there's a chat room
and
or something.
And then you go, let's all spank it to this.
Well, that's a good idea. Yeah. That's like a Google Plus Hangout kind
of. Right.
But with porn.
Right. Today's episode is Facial Fest.
I don't know if I could do that on Google Plus. If I can put up porn on
that's
the
Hangout.
That's
the other problem.
They look. They ban me from there.
Well, Steve Jobs doesn't want any porn on Apple stuff.
Yeah,
so
that's
you can't
weird.
Do that.
Yeah, iTunes has no porn.
Man, it's hard to get the porn out there anymore.
That's weird.
The porn is everywhere. It's ubiquitous. But you know what? I find there's still porn I can't see. There's
what does
still,
that mean?
Well, there's stuff that, like, even if, okay, there's all these sort of RedTube and XVids.
Sure,
and
yes.
SpankBank and all this stuff. And there's all these, and they put up stuff, but there's some, the quality shit doesn't get put up a lot.
Well, or they'll put up a 30-second preview of something that you would like to see in full.
So everybody says porn is free, and yes, obviously there's millions of hours of things to jerk off on the internet with. But if it's, let's say, a special release like the Backdoor to China that just came out, right? And you
want to see that.
Maybe you're a hideously malformed freak and you have always dreamed of banging a thyroid case, some sort of muscular. She's not actually, that's the thing about her too. She's not even muscular anymore.
I haven't seen any of the Backdoor. I read a review of it.
She
somebody wrote a review.
She shot a
on a
movie
blog
for
or something. I
reviewed. A legitimate.
Yeah, that's the one. I've read a review of that.
Right.
I saw the old porn that was like her private
unwatchable.
Video. Yeah, well, you and I watched that, I think, didn't
but
we?
She was all roided out then.
Exactly. Yeah.
She doesn't look that way anymore. No. She's gotten some work done.
Ugh.
It's still far from what you would consider
yuck.
Spankable. But out of morbid curiosity, I said, well, let me look at this China video for a minute. But you can't find that. You can find a clip. Anyway.
Right. Well, I mean, so what do they want you to do? Open up, like, get out your credit card and buy it on DVD?
You still got to pay. Look.
Can you pay to watch the thing streaming? Is that possible?
Probably, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But who wants that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, what about, I don't know. There's a lot of that technology.
Mr. Skin. Would you pay for Mr. Skin?
I don't, but some people would and some people do. Yeah. But I don't know if I don't care that much.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I think I just get the movie, right?
I remember the day in the mid-90s when my friend Josh Glazer and I discovered at a bookstore. And by the way, I don't know if you heard of those. They used to exist.
They used to. Speaking of things that used
that
to exist.
That bummed me out, man. The
Borders is closed. You worked for them for a long time.
Yeah, I worked for Borders for a long time. And that really, I still have not come to grips with that.
Well,
that's really disturbing.
Yeah. Didn't you do border stuff recently as a, didn't you host things at
a couple
border?
Years ago I did.
Yeah.
I did a video show for them with Owen Wilson and, I mean, with Wes Anderson and Jason
Schwartzman. Yeah.
So I did that. That was a couple years ago.
All right.
But that's a bummer. But I remember finding a copy of the Bearfax video guide.
Yes, that was the precursor.
That was before. This is back when the internet was basically message boards about Star Trek.
Yeah,
where guys were comparing, you know, whether a Romulan disruptor was more powerful than a phaser, and that was an amazing thing when you could go and look up where chicks were naked,
and they would tell you where in the tape to fast forward to and stuff.
Problem with that guy is that he had included male nudity, and no one wanted that.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, that guy kind of got ripped off then, didn't he?
He totally.
Why did he not just put the Bearfax on a website and call it the Bearfax website? Like, why did
that?
Not,
is a case of, you know why? Because
the other guy was too quick and got to it before him.
Pioneers get slaughtered, settlers make the profit. That's what happens, right? Oh. Right?
Are we pioneers of podcasts?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, they're going to be slaughtering us.
Here's an exact example of this. Okay, you and I had Jimmy Pardo on a live show.
We did, yes.
Jimmy Pardo then went on to do a podcast.
Right, but Jimmy was, I knew all of that. Not like Jimmy, Jimmy called me and said, hey, how do I do a podcast? I helped Jimmy with the podcast.
Look what you did.
Okay, but Jimmy's famous. Jimmy was famous before we were.
I understand. But you know what I mean? Now,
right.
That was like an
indication. I have no resentment towards
Jimmy
Pardo.
I'm not blaming Jimmy Pardo. I'm just saying.
What are you talking about?
Jimmy's an example of a famous guy that started podcasting.
He did, yeah.
So that all the guys like us.
Yeah.
Who diligently worked.
He put us out of business.
Week after week, right? And people were actually listening to us at a certain point. Then, now I found out Michael Ian Black and the fucking guy from Ed Tom Cavanaugh
Oy vey.
Have a show where they review snack foods.
Well, at least we never did that, Corey.
And so I saw it like on a right.
Yeah, I know.
Right, you know what I mean?
I know.
I saw that on a blog.
Sure. Yes.
Like it was like podcast you should be listening to.
Yeah.
And it's like Tom and Mike have snacks.
Yeah.
And I'm going, just because it's the douchebag that was on Love Monkey.
Yeah.
That's somehow a better show.
Well,
than people that have been doing these things.
They get attention for being the douchebag from Love Monkey, so.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they get.
So there you go. They reviewed three flavors of combos.
But you know, I think
we did that years ago.
I think a lot
when
of,
the goddamn breakfast but combo
I,
came
I also,
out.
You have to remember, though. I think that a lot of these shows,
mm-hmm.
these celebrity hosted podcasts, there are some like Adam Carolla now and Mark Maron that are
well. Those are great
sort
shows.
Of commercial entities now and Megan. I think a lot of those aren't going to last any longer than you know Bibb and Yaz or two assholes sitting in their house.
Well,
I think a lot of those are
Carolla,
going to come and go.
Carolla's the model of he's turned his into an enterprise.
Exactly, but not everybody will, and the ones that don't won't, you know.
Right. Mark Maron right. also reads, he usually has a sponsor for the
sure.
show.
Sure, and that's good.
But Carolla will read two or three ads,
mm-hmm.
and it actually has, it sounds like a radio show.
ICP did that yesterday, I guess.
Did they
I
really?
Have to listen to it.
They have a, yeah. Who is their, God forbid, who, Zigzag? Who was their sponsor?
I don't know, but ICP was on, no, ICP was on the Adam Carolla show.
Oh, they were on Carolla.
Yeah. And then they were also on George Lopez last night. They were right. on LA doing some press.
Carolla's kind of a interesting show. He'll have all kinds of people on there.
Yeah.
He's got a weird array of guests. Marin's show is basically comedians.
Right.
And it's pretty terrific sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes
I have not listened to it, but I know everyone tells me to
it's a
to
great show.
To the Gallagher show and some of these other things.
There's some really good yeah. He just had Richard Lewis on.
Okay.
He had Paul Reiser on, and that was actually
did you know that,
a surprisingly good one.
I didn't know this. I've seen the show and you have as well, but did you know that the guy who plays Ray J. Johnson is Lewis on
what?
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Really?
It's the same actor.
Ray Saluga is on Curb Your Enthusiasm?
He is Lewis Lewis.
Yeah.
Lewis, Richard Lewis's dad. He's been on like four or five. And I remember that character, but I can't remember what he looked like on Curb. So.
Wait.
It was like season five.
Wait. How does that come to Ray J. Johnson?
Ray Saluga, the guy who plays Ray J. Johnson,
uh-huh.
is Richard Lewis's dad on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, he played. Oh,
his name is Lewis Lewis on the show.
Okay.
His character, yeah. His Richard Lewis's dad on the show is named Lewis Lewis.
Here's what's amazing, because Richard Lewis is like 60.
Yes.
So how old is the guy that has to play
his dad? Ray Saluga's that old.
Right? Is he that
and by
old?
The way, he worked with Fred Willard. It was early, and he was in a sketch comedy group.
God, Fred Willard's
with
old
Fred
as
Willard,
hell.
Yes.
You know, that'd
by
be
the way, Curb is back on the air, and I have not even seen the new season, but I have to start watching that.
That'd be a good guest on Mark Maron's show, Fred Willard.
Fred Willard, yeah. You want to get into TV now that we're sort of moving
yes,
that direction? Because I know Corey said that his new thing is all these reality shows.
Well, it's
and
the summer.
It is.
And
yeah.
You know what? Like, I don't follow that many regular. First of all, I.
You watch episodic television, but it's not a good time for that.
I can count maybe four or drama shows that we watch.
Okay.
Like Mad Men.
Yeah.
Fringe.
Okay.
There's a small handful of serial drama shows.
Yeah.
Because if it's Amy was watching The Closer.
Yeah, fuck all that.
The other day.
Yeah.
And she actually said that, like, one of her professors told her to watch it because.
Well, she's in law school.
She's in law school, and she was like that. She said that the interrogation scenes were actually fairly accurate in The Closer. And I went, really? Everybody comes in and a hot chick with a southern accent. Really?
That's yeah, whatever. Whatever inspires you. To
anyway,
be, you know.
But she's watching The Closer, and I'm sitting there going, who can watch this garbage?
Yeah.
All these cop shows, I can't stand them.
I know what you mean.
When I was a kid, I liked cop shows.
Mm-hmm.
I would watch Starsky and Hutch.
Wow.
I remember watching Police Story and thinking.
I watched Chips.
Chips Blue. But
well, I watched Chips.
I know, but we were
I
kids.
I watched Adam 12.
Yeah.
I watched all those shows.
What was the one that.
Emergency. It was about firemen.
Police Story with Leslie Nielsen, which was great. Crime Story, was it?
I don't even
the
know.
The one in the 80s that had the Miami Vice. I loved all that shit.
Sure.
Now I couldn't get through a CSI. It's like.
I've watched CSI a few times. I've watched Law and Order.
I'm about
a few
to go
times.
Watch the fucking Smurfs movie.
You are about
and
to.
And I would rather watch that.
Oh. Do you want to see. Speaking of this, I'm taking this. I want you to get on your TV jog about reality TV, but. Did you see what Katy Perry wore to the Smurfs premiere? Because I got
she
this.
She wore a Smurf stamp
Well, here
on.
She is in her Smurfs.
Oh, there you go.
She's in like a
Does she do the voice of Smurfette?
She's the Smurfette voice in the movie. Look, I can make
that. So she's got
bigger.
A dress with Smurfette.
With Smurfette, and it's all bedazzled, and like the skirt's kind of flying up. But then you got to see this other. She was like outside signing pictures, and her whole skirt came up. Look at this.
Oh, there you go.
Look at her whole ass is hanging out. Yeah. Look at that.
Wholesome. People aren't even bothered by that anymore.
Yeah, it's like, really, it's not even a big deal. Like, it's like,
there once would have been a time when they were like.
It's like she was kind of like trying for that to happen. Like, right. It's not like that was an accident or something. Like, she. Well, like, you could see her whole panties.
We're only maybe 3 years away from a major pop star who walks out on stage and sticks a dildo in her vagina on stage. I mean, we're only a couple years from that, right?
Yeah, let me get the tits.
Oh, there you go.
That's not a good tit.
No, that's not good.
Maybe the dress isn't good to show off.
That's not a good.
Oh, here we go. Dress. Here's a good one. I got a good dress for a little cleave.
It's bizarre.
Right. How about,
that's fine.
When she wore that Elmo shirt on SNL.
That was great. That they
replayed over the weekend.
Phenomenal.
That was real good.
Katy Perry is the most annoying human being, but incredible body. I can't.
Yeah, you. That's your type.
I couldn't want to turn a television or radio off quicker when I hear her songs.
Well, okay.
But the body is good.
It's nice.
Yeah, that's what you like.
It's something I like, sure. It's in the genre.
All right, let's talk about this reality shows you're watching.
Well,
what are you watching?
I'm just saying, there's nothing on TV during the summer that I... Oh, okay, the one good show that I can unreservedly, wholeheartedly recommend is Louis on FX.
Louis on FX. Louis C.K.
show. Louis' show is great.
Okay.
Watch Louis' show. It's really dark and funny and weird.
I have not seen it, but people say to watch it.
And it's a half hour.
Yeah.
They did a whole episode. They did an episode where...
Wait a minute. Is this the new Louis or the old Louis?
The new
Because
one.
They changed Louis. There was Life with Louis. That was... But I thought they retooled Louis. Maybe it's for the next season. They're like changing the setting of it or something. They're changing the show.
How are they...
They're like moving it or they're giving him a new job, but it's like a whole different show.
I haven't heard that.
But yeah, it is. No, let me look it up. You can talk about what you want.
All right. Well, the current show, Louis, he had a show called Life with Louis on HBO, which was a three-camera traditional sitcom that looked like Good Times or something. It was set in this, you know, it was supposed to be a throwback to a 70s-style all-in-the-family kind of sitcom with obvious sets and that kind of stuff. The new one is much more documentary style. It's kind of like Seinfeld, where you get a little bit of his stand-up at the start of the show and a little bit in the end of the show. And it's basically just his, you know, life as a comedian. He did one where he got in a fist fight with Nick DiPaolo over politics.
Okay.
And then they had to go to the hospital, and he was just felt bad about it. And
okay, I can't find it on the Wikipedia, but I thought they said that... This is season two that's on right now. Mm-hmm. And they say there was changes from season one to season two.
Kind of.
Okay.
But not
okay.
Not
I don't know enough. I'm talking out of my ass right
well,
now.
Well, I'll tell you
and
what.
I don't want to talk out of my ass.
It's a great show.
Okay, Louis's recommended.
It's a really good show. They did one where he was house hunting because he's a single dad.
Okay.
And he decided he wanted a better place in New York. And they went to this apartment, apparently Lenny Bruce's old apartment. He wanted it because it was Lenny Bruce's.
Yeah.
And they wanted like $7 million for it. And he went to his accountant and they're like, you've got like $8,000. So anyway.
Curb Your Enthusiasm's in New York this season. That's the new rating.
Oh.
Which, again, I haven't
seen
it.
That show gets a little sticky for me. But
they say the ratings are up on it. So I don't know.
Well, that's, you know, hey, no accounting for taste.
No accounting
for taste. So anyway, I've ended up watching a lot of garbagey reality shows. And I don't know why that.
What are you watching? Go ahead.
Reality shows. I'm fucking hooked on like Storage Wars. I can't lie to you.
Well, that is the new genre, and there's a genre for those shows. You know what they are? It's the treasure hunting genre.
Yes.
Well, items that, you know, finding things that are valuable.
There is American Pickers.
American Pickers. Those are the big ones. American Pickers.
American Pickers.
And
Pawn Stars
are the two big ones.
Are the huge hits, and then Storage Wars is on A&E.
American Restoration is also
on History
Channel.
Well, this is what's awful is that the guys on Pawn Stars, like the sidekicks, are now getting
spin-offs. That's what American Restoration is. It's the guy that used to refurbish all the crap that the Pawn Stars guy would buy. Now he's got his. Well, they did a show. Did you see this a couple weeks ago? They did the Pick the Pawn and the Polish, where they showed it was American Pickers. And on American Pickers, Rick from Pawn Stars calls
the guys a crossover
and goes, "Hey, I need a car for my dad for his birthday. I want you to find me a 57 Chevy."
Right.
So then the pickers go find a 57 Chevy. Then they have to bring it to, I'm trying to think. They went to the guy from American Rest. They sold it to the guy. The American Restoration guy
cleaned
fixed
it up.
Uh-huh. And then there was a Pawn Stars where they gave it to the dad. Yeah. And it was like a two-hour block of programming.
So it was like when they would, when they'd cross over on Beverly Hillbillies, and they'd go over to Hooterville.
Is that what they do?
Right? Wasn't it?
I was there.
Wasn't there like a Green Acres would cross over with?
But I thought it was
Petticoat Junction.
I thought it was Petticoat Junction.
Okay, is that what it was?
Yeah, I think that was the.
Did the Beverly Hillbillies cross over with that too? I think it was all three.
I don't know if they did.
They all went
and
crossed over.
Anyway. All the Hillbilly shows got together.
Yeah,
Green Acres, yeah. And they all kind of
absolutely. I liked that when I was a kid, but. Now, but that's what's happening with Pawn Stars. It's gotten out of control. I'm doing a bit about it in my act about, you know, times are tough when people are watching shows about getting ripped off at a pawn store. That's their fantasy. They go,
it is true.
God, I wish I had a priceless artifact that I could get a third of the value for.
Yeah, it is.
From a fat creep in Vegas.
Yeah, the CD, it's funny because I was reading about how that show started, and it was they pitched it to HBO to be like a late night, like weird shit happening in a pawn store.
Right.
And then when History Channel wanted it, they said, look, you have to make it more historical. And that's why it sort of took on its current form.
That's why guys come in there and they go, I have a bill for laundry that was signed by Benjamin Franklin.
Right.
And you know what I mean? They bring in these weird artifacts.
Meanwhile, if you really went to a pawn shop, none of that is coming through the door.
No.
It's all it's all a bunch of guys trying to...
No, it's a guy goes... I got a Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Right. I got a car stereo I don't want anymore. How much are you going to give me for it?
Yeah, yeah. It's usually some scuzzy Arab.
But this guy on Pawn Stars.
Let me tell you, my friend, this is worth nothing. I'll give you $2.
The guy on Pawn Stars is like this history buff, and he knows everything. And then
this is a musket that Nathaniel Hawthorne and Nathaniel Hale.
And every show is the same because he's got a buddy who's an expert in those things.
I don't know enough about this. This is what happens every show.
I got a buddy who's not waiting in an air-conditioned trailer outside.
What is Rick actually an expert in?
Well, he knows guitars. He knows a lot of stuff.
You know what I mean? Okay.
Yeah, I know what you
he
mean.
He knows coins, I think.
Yeah, I think.
Coins and... Uh-huh. But sometimes he calls in a coin expert. He knows coins. I think you're right. Guitars he can generally do.
Yes. He said he can appraise fine art on one. I saw that.
Please.
That's what he said. He says he knows...
Bitch, please!
A guy had some... I forget who he had. He had some Picassos, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some Picasso prints.
So guys come in there, and generally what happens is Rick or... The other guys know nothing. Chumley and his stupid fat son.
But the old man.
The old man can fuck off.
I'm disappointed.
I'm disappointed.
Listen.
Now we're doing dueling old man voices.
I work at the pawn shop.
Yeah.
I don't like to take a lot of shit. So
I'm an old bastard.
I'm
ready to die.
I've got a little bit of a southern accent. And then
Chumley is dumber than a bag of bricks in an oven.
You know, they feed me most of those lines.
Those lines are terrible. That's the other thing.
Show.
And the guys can't even read the lines.
Yeah, they're like, fed a lot of,
There was
whatever
one...
the final segment is always the shtickiest, phoniest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know.
A guy came in with, and this is the other thing, these guys came in with ridiculous items. Guy came in selling, it was like a vintage fire engine.
Yeah.
It was like an old horse-drawn fire engine.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like from the 1902 or something.
Right.
And, Chumley goes, with a few calculations, I could turn this into a time machine. You know, you're going, you can't even read the line, you fat prick.
But isn't that the appeal? Is that they're that clueless that it's like...
I know, but
they
feed them these lines like they're clever.
Right, I know.
It was less obvious when Jackie would send lines to Howard Stern.
No, he was pretty good at that.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah. You could tell the Jackie lines if you really listened.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway...
These guys are just, but I think the appeal of the show is in the objects. It is in that found money sort of thing.
So then Storage Wars. Pawn Stars is one thing. Storage Wars is even cheesier.
That even has more potential to be fake and set up. And
here's what I'm thinking.
What do you think?
This is a show where they go and bid on storage lockers.
Okay.
Okay? Yeah. So Storage Wars, and then what happens is there's like four people they follow.
Yeah.
Five people. That they follow.
Mm-hmm.
And
they sort of, they pit them against each other.
So even though
there's rivalries.
Right. Even though they go to these auctions and maybe there's 35, 40 people standing around there, we only see when our guys win a locker.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So other people can probably bid on stuff.
Bid to lockers.
But we only see when Dave and Daryl and...
Well, you know all the guys.
Barry. Yeah, I know all the guys that are on Storage Wars.
Okay.
I've watched every fucking episode.
Yeah, that's a little...
And now it's time for the new season.
Oh, well, look
out. And they
out.
Go, we're going to Norwalk, California today, and we're going to bid on these. And it's the same thing. Yeah. And they got the... They had originally, they kind of tried to make the auctioneer into a character, but nobody gave a crap.
Okay.
So anyway... These guys bid on stuff, and they go in these lockers, and these lockers are usually filled with crap.
Yes.
But there's always some one magical item
yeah.
that's in this. This is where it starts to be unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah. That well, the part you have to imagine, if you're a show,
right.
and you're shooting this thing.
How often are storage
yeah,
lockers
like,
filled
exactly.
with crap?
Exactly. So, I mean, I wonder if they don't look through the locker and go, okay, you know what, you're going to get this. I mean, that's where I would see the fakery coming in that.
Well, on Storage Wars, you get an instinct that there's a little fakery.
Yeah.
Or sometimes the guys will go, right. well, I bid on this locker because I saw this thing and it looked interesting.
On Pawn Stars, if the item isn't valuable, it's still entertaining because the guy thinks it is.
Right.
But on Storage Wars, when you're going from nothing to thinking it's valuable
mm-hmm.
and it's not, then where is the entertainment value?
Okay, sometimes it'll be a bust. Like Barry, who's the collector guy, who's the old man with the gray hair, who's the most interesting character, who's the most entertaining guy. He like will bid on just crazy stuff because he'll just want it.
All right.
Like one time there was a desert sailor, which is basically a go kart.
Okay.
That you put a sail on.
Okay.
And you go wind sailing in the desert.
Sure. Yeah.
And he bought that even though it didn't have the sail. But he's like, well, maybe I can fix it up. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he ended up losing money on it. So that's okay. But when they do stuff like this where they'll be like, there's like two couches and a couple end tables and a lamp and a Bob Marley poster.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, well, I think it might be a musician because he had a Bob Marley poster. So
like they see the thing for a second, right, before they bid.
They open the door. You can't go into the locker.
Yeah.
You can look around in it and whatever.
Yeah.
So Barry bids on it, and it turns out that there's like pristine Fender guitars in the back, right?
Right?
There's
yeah.
like a Gibson. There's this crazy like triangular-bodied like Gibson from the 30s.
Yeah.
You know?
All right.
Like in the back of this
right.
fucking thing.
Les Paul's guitar is sitting in the back.
Yeah.
yeah.
And you just go, come on. And then like one time, the Jared and Brandy, who are a couple chachels,
okay.
they bid on like old Levi's.
Yeah.
Because they were like, well, there's vintage Levi's that are worth money.
Okay.
You know, it's just like really,
yeah.
you know, anyway. Right. Now, so I'm watching this show and I'm already going, these people are profiteering off the failure and the misery of someone else.
Yes.
Someone either died from these lockers, or, well, you know.
You stop paying your rent and then...
Some of them, though, it makes perfect sense. Like, sometimes it'll be, like, restaurant equipment.
Okay.
Or a lot of times it'll be construction equipment.
So that the construction company goes out of business or whatever.
Or they just didn't pay their bill.
Yeah.
And they left power tools in there. And
okay.
they go, I'll bid on the power tools.
Yeah.
Dave Hester, who's the villain on the show... bid on one that was a bunch of vending machines.
Okay.
And he made like $40,000 off all these like brand new vending machines.
Hmm, okay.
But what they do on that show that makes me nuts is one time there was nothing but garbage in this locker till the guy got in the back and he found four boxes of toys and they were like vintage Star Wars toys and like 70s superhero figures.
Right.
And they were like, this is $8,000 worth of toys. The guy who collects that stuff that knows what the value is.
But maybe that's why he put it in the locker, though.
But you got to think he had some kind of major calamity to go.
Well,
if you were like, I'm going to default on this locker,
yeah,
he'd go over there and get it out.
I guess.
If he knew he had $8,000 worth of Star Wars figures.
You
know what I mean? It's crazy stuff. And now there's a knockoff, a Storage Wars. There's like two other Storage
Wars. Well, there's
shows.
Auction Hunters on Spike. I've seen that, the
right.
trailers for it while watching UFC.
Yeah, and those guys are buying, they're finding like, hydroplanes or shit, and but you know,
yeah, I don't know.
Like,
I don't,
and then there's,
but I agree with you that there's one show that's always the Clash show,
right?
And then there's the knockoffs.
Okay, True TV,
yeah,
is where the bottom of the barrel for any of this stuff goes, right? Because their auction show is even cheesier.
Yeah,
they're standing in front of green screens of storage lockers.
Really,
like. You got to see it. It's
yeah,
like,
I guess I need to
you know
see
what I mean?
That.
Like when they do the interview segments,
yeah.
instead of just like a close-up shot or whatever,
sure, yeah.
they're standing behind a green screen of a storage shed.
Oh.
It's just the cheesiest, cheapest
yeah,
show.
Sounds...
The the auctioneer makes fun of everybody. Like, that's part of the act.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's so bad. And I'm stuck on watching this crap. And then, what is with the swamp shows?
I don't know what the swamp...
What the fuck is that about?
That I don't care about.
There's like four or five swamp shows.
I don't care about the family that builds guns. I don't care about the swamp show.
Wait, there's like guys, and it's like fucking Bayou Cajun rednecks.
Right, there's swamp people, and what are the other...
Oh, Lord, are we going to go out there and catch us a big old gator?
Yeah, I don't.
And they go out and shoot gators. Yeah, and I'm like, where is Animal Planet? Where's the PETA for this?
Right.
No one's upset that these guys go. And then I saw an ad, and this is something I Twittered. I saw a promo for a show while I'm watching all this garbage for a show called Hillbilly Hand Fishing.
Of course.
Where this is the premise. The guy goes out into rivers and catches catfish with his hands.
Well.
And they're like sticking their hands in this muddy water looking to put their hand and grab a catfish by the mouth.
Who's showing Hillbilly Hand Fishing?
Let me Google that.
I think it's A&E, but don't quote me on that.
I want to know.
But it's Hillbilly Hand Fishing, Joel.
Hillbilly Hand Fishing.
And then I thought, so I put that on Twitter and I went, you know how you put a hashtag on stuff? And my hashtag was New Lows in Television. Yeah. Who pitched Hillbilly Hand Fishing and sold it? And then I saw something worse. There's a show called American Hoggers.
What do these guys do?
These are rednecks in Texas who shoot wild hogs.
Yeah, I've seen hog shows.
What is this going on?
All right, this is...
Hillbilly... to Animal Planet.
Animal Planet has this. Animal Planet, the network about things people do for and to animals, has ordered a reality series in which city slickers pay good money to go to Oklahoma to noodle. Noodling is hillbilly for catching catfish with your hand. Don't take my word for it. Animal Planet is calling the series Hillbilly Hand Fishing. The show, Animal Planet explains, star self-proclaimed hillbilly skipper, Bivens, who for price takes silly city
slickers.
Wait,
the guy's name is Skipper Bivens?
Skipper Bivens, yes.
Skipper Bivens. Well, of course he got into a career fishing catfish out of a muddy river in Arkansas.
The Animal Planet starts to, they unleash it in August. But they did a pilot back in September.
Hillbilly Hand Fishing.
But this is some field. This is the okay. This is the Field and Stream website is making fun of this. So that's how low it's gotten. That was the first
Field and Stream think that's gay.
Field and Stream is saying that's enough of that shit.
Is there anything people won't watch on TV?
No, it's.
Why don't they have toilet wars where guys clean septic tanks? Why don't they do that?
Who can take the biggest dump?
Wait, why do we do the pee mic?
Why do we?
Wait,
we did the
again,
pee mic.
We've innovated, and now people are doing stupid reality shows.
Why don't they do like? Why don't they have like a competitive eating reality show or something like that? I mean,
they do.
Yeah.
Well, there's man versus food.
Yeah, they're right.
Well, there's cupcake wars.
Do you know man versus food doesn't eat anymore?
He quit eating?
It's now Man versus Food Nation.
Oh, so he's got a team.
And he hosts as regular people challenge themselves.
I think you can only do that for so long.
I think he said, enough, this shit. Yeah.
Well, it used to be, there used to be survival shows. Those kind of went away.
Well, now there's something called Dual Survival, which is new, where it's two guys go out. Mm.
Well, you got better chances.
Yeah.
But Survivor Man, he quit doing it because he was like...
Survivor Man, yeah, he quit.
He's like, I'm sitting on an ice floe in Newfoundland, freezing my dick
off. Oh, then you see he built a house like in the Arctic Circle for his family, though.
Really?
Yeah, that was like the last Survivor Man, where him and his family built a house like...
Like as a gimmick or like the...
No, for real. They're really going to live there. Wow. Yeah, it's crazy.
But he would go, he was like, I'm dodging cheetahs in the jungle.
Well, he was actually by himself.
Yeah.
He actually shot the show himself.
And I could see where that would be a bad thing.
I could see where you could do
enough
of that.
You'd get tired of eating bugs and drinking your own pee.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to not do that on television anymore. But a hillbilly hand fishing, everybody. Keep an eye out for that.
Well, the other guy, Bear Grylls, took Jake Gyllenhaal out on Man vs. Wild a couple weeks ago.
Fuck the living shit out of him.
Yeah, just, really.
They just had a big old... cock and ball party.
Hey Jake, it's getting a bit cold out here.
We're going to need warmth.
How about you slide your tube steak up here? Get your willy out, Jake.
Jake said, done and done.
All right.
I'll split your shitter right up good and clear. Oh, let's recreate Brokeback Mountain. That's a new show.
Jake, we have to drink your own. I'm going to drink yours right from the tap, if that's all right.
That's going to be a new show called Everything's Jake, where people take Jake Gyllenhaal into exotic locations and fuck the shit out of him. They just have a good old...
Tonight we try to survive the glory hole. Jake, can you?
Can you lick it and spit it?
Can you survive only on semen?
Hillbilly Handjobs. It'll be the new show. Where hillbillies jerk off.
Do you want to know what I'm watching on TV? Because I do watch American Pickers.
Yeah.
And I do watch Pawn Stars.
It's addictive garbage.
Yeah, I do.
I won't watch any show like that. Where I draw the line, I won't watch The Bachelor. The Bachelorette.
Sure, yeah, I know what you mean.
I won't watch the horror reality
show. You're not
shows.
Watching Love in the Wild on NBC?
No. I will not watch the horror reality
What do you mean the horror reality
show? As Amy calls them, whoring sea donkeys. Uh-oh. Any show where it's a girl trying to bang guys or any Real Housewives of fucking anything.
No, I
won't watch any of that.
Okay,
that I draw the line at, but these other stupid reality shows I'm stuck watching.
You won't watch Tori Spelling and her husband open a lodge or something. You know.
Howard Stern is watching the Paris Hilton show, and I'm like, I couldn't do that
he's
for
the
a
only
minute.
One.
Couldn't do it.
Well, I'm watching I do watch some of those shows. I do watch The Pickers and Pawn Stars if I see it. I don't go out of my way to see it, but if I see it, and they're on Netflix actually, the previous seasons, which is nice because the Pawn Stars are 20 minutes. And they don't have all those teasers for what's coming up. Because I find that kind of annoying on the show when you just go, can you just fucking tell me what this is worth?
And I sit around. Well, I don't. That's the other thing. You see the stuff over and over again.
Yeah.
Ice Road Truckers does that a lot.
Yeah, I stopped watching. The one when they went to India, I still contend, is an amazing show.
That was
show.
Phenomenal.
And you tipped me off to that. But they're back in
they're back in
they're
Canada
back in Alaska,
and
I don't give a shit. America's Got Talent. We had two friends on there, Geechee Guy, who's been on the show, and Jake Newberger, who's been on the show.
Sure.
They both got eliminated in the round of 48, but they're continuing on that.
Chris is now on a thing where this is his latest YouTube video. He's like, vote me back on, and I will just do 90 seconds on Pierce. I will just go on and just rip on Pierce.
Okay. Well,
I won't even do material. I will just roast him.
He had a dust up with Pierce.
And I thought that was kind of funny.
Right. Well, hear what Geechee said. Geechee came on and...
I didn't see when Geechee came.
Yeah, Geechee did his 40
back on.
Yeah, Geechee just did it last week, and you know Geechee goes on. He tells his dumb jokes, you know, whatever. And then Howie Mandel says, "Well, you know, you're funny. I don't know how far you're going to go, but I think you're really funny, and you deserve to work." And he says, "Thank you." And then Sharon thought he was pretty good, you know, but says, "I'm not sure."
Not funny.
And Dipper goes, "You're not funny at all." And then Geechee's comeback was like he says, "I'm not really sure what you do for a living, so I'm going to take the professional comedian's opinion." Which is a great line, because what does Pierce do?
He sucks. He sucks is what he does.
So I'm watching America's Got Talent. In terms of episodic, Big Brother is back, speaking of reality television. I know, Corey, you've kind of given up on Big Brother, I think.
The formula grew stale for me.
Yeah, and this season has not been great. They teamed up everybody, so you had to play as pairs for the first 6 weeks or something. And they're still in that mode, and to me it's not good. Because you have fewer options on who to nominate, because you have to nominate a pair.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it's not as good.
The height of my Big Brother watching was when it was on Showtime.
It's still on Showtime.
Well, I don't have Showtime.
Yeah, okay. Well, if you had it.
So I was watching it when it was on Showtime, because the after-hour show, you could actually see nudity.
You did, and we did see nudity
plenty
of times.
And there was one really spectacular episode.
Yeah, it really
was. Everybody got naked
and they,
fucked the
they
shit
banged
out of
each other. Yeah,
and that was the best show.
Yeah, they were all making
and
out
that
in the pool. And
probably hasn't happened again.
Well, that was during first of all, that was the greatest thing that came out of the writer's strike. Was that spring Big Brother or the winter Big Brother, whatever you call it, because it was great. So Big Brother, they brought some people back. They brought back Evil Dick and his daughter from the season. But then Evil Dick left after 2 days. And they never really explained it. He said that his friend had an emergency.
Oh.
Whatever the fuck that means. So he's not even on the show anymore.
Oh, good.
So anyway, Big Brother's okay. I'm watching it, but, you know, if you're not a Big Brother fan, there's nothing on this one to make you... And they had a really hot model on. Maybe the hottest chick that's ever been on there.
That voted right out.
Lasted 2 weeks, yeah. So
they vote the hot girls out.
There's still some hot chicks on there, but it's, you know, this chick was super... Cassie was her name. If you look up Cassie, this chick was a model. Amazing. She was from Kentucky, so she talked like a hick, but gorgeous.
I've watched all the Big Brother I ever need to in my life.
Not me. I can't have enough.
More to come.
There's more to come. And the episodic sort of drama I'm watching is Falling Skies on TNT, which you never got into, huh?
I haven't gotten into it.
Yeah, it's almost over.
I'm a sucker for alien shows.
Yeah.
But
well,
I watched that Fakakta V. That monkey shines.
okay, this, okay. Falling Skies is 100 times better than V. Okay.
Wow.
More exciting. This Sharpie marker is 20 to 30 times more exciting than V. That new V,
that V was such a mess.
The biggest piece of fuck.
What a mess.
And the thing, here's the thing with that V. I just kept going, well, next week's got to be good. Next week's got to be good.
Yeah.
Well, then it's all going down next week. Oh, next week they'll actually do. And they never
did a thing.
It wasn't until the last 5 minutes of the final episode ever that the humans realized the aliens were bad. Which was the whole premise of the original V was, you know, I mean, yeah, there was the resistance or the
underground.
Yeah, whatever. The fifth column was the resistance group on this movie. And like they knew about it, but the public never knew that the aliens were bad ever until the end. Because they went and they killed a bunch of them. And they did kill some of the main characters in the final episode of V. But
oh, good.
You waited so fucking long that it's a completely, the effects were bad.
The old V was entertaining.
Yeah.
It fell apart when they went to series. It wasn't very good. But the miniseries,
the miniseries
were good.
Yeah. But the actual,
that new V, unwatchable.
The new V was horrible. And I
watched it. And I went, why am I doing
this? But you didn't finish season two then.
I bailed out.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It was only a half a season, but still, it was no
good. I jumped out.
So Falling Skies is much better. It really feels like, you know, it's an apocalyptic story with the alien invasion. It's almost like the invasion has already happened when the show starts.
Right.
So you're sort of, it's more like a District 9 where you're trying to coexist with the aliens. But there is a resistance, and they do fight. And for a lot of the aliens, it's a guy in a suit with some puppetry because they got like six legs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's better than bad CGI.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, good CGI is better than a guy in a suit, but television budget CGI is better to just have the guy in the suit. So they did some of that good. There's still some annoying characters, but I think Falling Skies is worth watching. It's only 10 episodes, and they've done 8 of them so far.
Well,
so,
I'll take a look.
Yeah, if you get a chance. I mean, I like The Walking Dead, and it's more similar to that. And I know you didn't watch, which I don't understand why you didn't watch Walking Dead.
I never got into Walking Dead.
Walking Dead was fantastic. So, and they only made 6 of those. The first episode.
There was only 6 Walking Dead?
There was only 6. Well, the first one was 2 hours, but yeah, there was 6.
Well, I'll watch those.
Yeah, Walking Dead's great. Get it on DVD or Blu-ray or something.
I didn't watch, you know, all those AMC shows, which I should, like,
yeah.
I watch Mad Men like it's my job.
Yeah.
But the other ones I've never gotten into.
Yeah, Falling Skies, not as good as Walking Dead, but way better than V, and it's certainly worth watching.
I didn't watch The Killing.
Yeah, The Killing, most people will tell you now that you were glad you didn't watch The Killing because the people hated the finale.
The finale was
but The Killing had some real good acting in it. And, you know, I mean, it was, they did swerve you, you know, they did one swerve too many at the end of The Killing because the claim was they would reveal the killer at the end of the first season. And while they revealed the killer at the end of the first season, they arrested somebody for the murder. The problem was, after that, there was a further twist where...
Which, the real killer.
No, it wasn't that they revealed the real killer, but the evidence that the real killer was framed. Or he could have been framed. So I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but that was sort of the
twist. That there was another killer still out there.
The killer may still be out there, and you have to watch season two to figure out if the season two... I think what the deal was, if there wasn't going to be a season two, they would have neatly wrapped it up. And now that there is a season two,
I'm going to be too busy with Hillbilly Handfishing.
Yeah, so Falling Skies is worth watching if you can watch that. And then movie time. I know, Corey's, you're seeing Smurfs tonight. You've seen Captain America you liked, you said?
I liked Captain America a lot. That was entertaining.
I do need to see that. I have not been to the movies. And, well, actually, I went last night, but
here's
a lot
what
of
you
the
do.
Stuff that's out now.
Go to Captain America and say, is there a 2D presentation of this,
really?
Please? Because the 3D adds very little.
Okay.
It's a good movie. I don't want to knock the movie in any way, but there's nothing in the movie that requires 3D.
All right, so no 3D.
I actually saw Harry Potter in 2.
Yeah, but people say Harry Potter in 3D was good, is what I'm hearing.
Well, the critics actually requested a 2D.
Yeah,
Harry Potter
but
thing.
I think the, well,
we're, if you ask critics, we don't want to see anything.
But here's my thing as a critic. If you're a critic, you should watch the movie as the director intended you to see it.
Yeah,
and for you to see, you know what I mean. For you to say, but I mean, in some of these movies that are, just
I didn't lead,
cheap,
the, I didn't lead the charge on that, but it was done.
And I get when 3D is slapped on, like Clash of the Titans or something, and maybe Captain America. I don't think it was shot.
I think
in 3D.
The rationale behind Harry Potter was that a lot of the movie was in the dark.
Okay.
And a lot of it is them running around
Pirates
in the woods.
Pirates was a lot of the dark,
right?
And it was in 3D. I saw it in 2D at the drive-in.
Well, the worst,
but there was a complaint that Pirates was too dark in 3D.
The worst 3D debacle was Last Airbender, and that movie was all at night.
Yeah.
Well, and it was terrible, and you couldn't see anything.
But, I, you know, again, if I was going to the theater and it was a 3D, I would probably... I didn't see... People said Transformers in 3D was good. I don't know. I didn't see it. No, you don't care.
A couple of the in
was
Captain
there no America, saving Transformers?
No,
in any dimension.
I'm going to be honest with you. Nothing I've seen in 3D. Maybe Avatar because that was intended for 3D.
Right.
And shot in 3D. None of it's really made a difference for me in terms of a movie enjoyment. Or, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Captain America, I didn't think the 3D added a whole hell of a lot.
Okay.
In fact, it detracted a little bit because in the beginning of the movie, Chris Evans is scrawny.
Right.
So they did the Benjamin Button technique, yeah, sort of where they put him on a skinnier actor.
Right. Or actually, I heard that they
morphed
him
down.
Thinned
him
digitally. Right. Yeah, that's,
well,
what they're that's what they're claiming. But, you
but
know.
What actually I noticed in the 3D, well, they're claiming that, but I think the 3D gives them away.
I know what you mean,
The 3D, I think, gives them away because the 3D... You can actually see the gap in his neck.
Oh, okay.
In his chin line. Huh. And it sort of makes a weird... His head looks a little floaty at times.
Oh, interesting.
Which I don't think would have been as... It's pretty good. Like, I thought the effect worked really well, except for a couple of the 3D shots. And I think the 2D wouldn't have given it away.
Okay, well, that's interesting.
But Captain America's solid overall. Pretty entertaining. They put Tommy Lee Jones in there, which is like...
Yeah.
That's like catnip. That's like, you know what I mean? You just go... Have Tommy Lee Jones bark at people.
Yeah, really.
It's going to make your movie smoother.
Yes, because that's what the army is. It's a bunch of guys like Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah,
really,
but you know what I mean? It's hard to resist Tommy Lee Jones, right?
I saw a movie, 30 Minutes or Less comes out in like 3 weeks.
No, you
and I got to see it early, and if I was a journalist, I probably wouldn't be able to review it, but I'm
not. No, go right ahead.
So, and you didn't see it.
I haven't seen it.
30 Minutes or Less is great. I was worried. You know, this was a movie that had a lot of really funny guys in it. I think Aziz Ansari and... Danny McBride, and it was shot in Grand Rapids, and actually they did set the movie in Grand Rapids, which was nice.
Mm-hmm.
So they talk about, you know, Grand Rapids shit in it, which was nice. But it turned out really well. It's actually based on a true story about the pizza guy who had to rob a bank. Do you remember the story? It was in Erie, Pennsylvania.
No.
There was a guy who walked into a bank wearing a bomb, and he said, I was forced to wear this bomb, and if you know, you don't give me the money, the bomb's going to detonate, and I'm going to die. So they gave him the money, and then the police caught him, and then the bomb went off and killed the guy. That's what happened in real life.
Wow.
So in this comedy, they get Jesse Eisenberg from The Social Network to wear this bomb because Danny McBride and Nick Swartzen are these kind of the bumbling villains.
God, it's already a million comedic actors.
Yeah, and so these guys are supposed to, you know, they want him to raise money so Danny McBride can kill his dad, and it's sort of, it's very loosely based on the real story. But it gets real funny by the time because the first half hour was a little disappointing, but once the bank robbery starts and the chase and all that, it was real good. It reminded me of a better version of like Pineapple Express, which I know is something we didn't like, which also had Danny McBride in it.
Yeah.
But it's better than Pineapple Express. My girlfriend said it was better than Hangover 2, which I'd go with that.
Wow. All right. Well,
yeah. So it's worth seeing. 30 Minutes or Less. It comes out August 12th, it's shot. Our friend Tori Adkins is in this movie as well.
I'm trying to think. Boy.
He gets some big laughs. So.
Horrible Bosses was solid.
Right. Yeah. This might be the best comedy of the summer.
Horrible Bosses didn't last with me. It didn't linger.
Right.
I enjoyed it at the time I watched it, but it's not like I sat back and went, that's the funniest damn thing I saw.
Michael Pena is real funny in this. He plays a Mexican thug from Detroit.
You know, The Bridesmaids, which was a big
Bridesmaids
hit,
was funny,
was funny, but it's also, I don't know if it's lingering in my head.
I don't know if it is. I think 30 Minutes or Less is better than Bridesmaids. It's better than Hangover 2.
I'll tell you what was a complete surprise.
What's
Crazy
that?
Stupid Love.
You'd like that.
Actually enjoyable.
Okay.
Well, it was directed by the guys who did I Love You, Philip Morris.
Right, which was really good.
Yeah.
And was also based on a true story. So that reminded me, 30 Minutes or Less reminded me of that.
They wrote Bad Santa.
Okay, yeah.
So it's actually got a good pedigree.
Yeah, well, 30 Minutes or Less is directed by the guy who directed Zombieland.
Okay.
Which was a real good movie
sure.
a couple years ago. And this it's every bit as good as that. So.
There you go.
If you like Zombieland, I think you'll like 30 Minutes or Less.
Mm-hmm.
There's some ICP references. But there's like the guys wearing an ICP jersey. Nick Swartzen. Like,
sense.
They wanted the knucklehead
they're
to be
Michigan.
Juggalos
sure.
kind of.
Glenn Ficarra and John Requa.
Yeah,
the guys
those guys are good.
They did. And then Phil.
I should see that movie.
I Love You, Philip Morris was great.
It was great. Nobody saw
no
it.
No one saw it, but it was a really entertaining
if you
movie.
Want to see Jim Carrey get butt fucked.
No,
right? He does the butt fucking.
The top.
He does. He does the butt fucking.
And if you want to see that on Everything's Jake, there's an episode where Jim Carrey takes Jake Gyllenhaal in the woods.
Oh, I didn't.
Actually, they went up to Big Sur.
Oh, did
that's what they did. It was very romantic up there.
But yeah, go see 30 Minutes or Less in a couple of weeks. It's worth seeing. It's real good. Tori Adkins, our friend, is the big guy who gets shot in the bank. It's in the trailer, but he gets some good laughs in it.
Honestly, Cedar Rapids might have been my favorite comedy this year.
Cedar Rapids was good too. Yeah, I mean,
well, The Trip is great with.
Yeah, I haven't seen.
That's
the
a
trip.
Totally different thing, though. That's like a different.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's a more refined.
Because
right.
I feel like I want to see Horrible Bosses, but. Do I need to go to the theater for that? Probably not.
Dollar theater?
Yeah. I mean, Crazy Stupid Love, I could probably get on DVD.
Yeah, Crazy Stupid Love is though it's funny. Actually, it's actually
it looks good.
It's
probably
20 minutes too long.
Yeah.
It does go
30 minutes or less, 83 minutes.
Okay.
That's a movie. That's a comedy.
Well, Crazy Stupid Love has a logical endpoint, then they go past it and they go and do some speeches.
Well, Bridesmaids is still going from the screening we saw. I mean, that fucking movie was way too long. So, yeah.
But I'll tell you what, Crazy Stupid Love is basically it's about Ryan Gosling teaching Steve Carell how to pick up chicks.
Okay.
For a good chunk of it.
Yeah.
And they actually could have done. It's really too many movies. It's like three or four different plots.
Right.
And they had a surprise, they had a twist that I didn't see coming.
Okay, there you go.
And you know why? Because it was a romantic comedy, and I wasn't looking for a twist.
Oh, interesting.
Whereas in a horror movie or a monster movie or a mystery, I know the twist is coming.
Okay.
This has a twist, and you go, damn, they've got me with that. But pretty funny, pretty solid, great cast. When you got, like, Kevin Bacon and Marissa Tomei as your bit players.
Yeah.
So there you go. Couple movies to check out.
There you go.
And then the Smurfs. And if you're going to go see the Smurfs, you would actually have more fun, I think, if you got like your grandpa's old army helmet and you guys all just took a shit in it. just like sit around a campfire taking a shit in an old army helmet. That's probably more entertaining than the Smurfs.
Well, that's what Bear Grylls did with Jake Gyllenhaal. They did that in the woods. They all shitting in an army helmet.
Jake said, oh, my God, I think he broke something loose.
Jake, hey, I just put it right there. Yeah.
I haven't had a shit like that since Lance Armstrong boned me. I'm sorry.
Jake's on Hillbilly Hanfield next week. They're going to use their hands. Going to pull a fish
out. Boy, we're going to use our hands all over you.
Come here, Jake.
Ooh, it's muddy in this river. Come here, boy. You're slippery.
Jake.
Come here, Jakey.
I want to pull on your trout, Jake.
Jake Gyllenhaal is actually a real cocksmith from what I've heard.
I don't know, you know.
He's banging every lady in town.
We're going to have to do a show where we actually decide who's gay in Hollywood or not.
We'll do investigative reporting.
Because I've had thoughts. We've talked about this over the years about who we think is actually a faggot.
I'm going to tell you who's gay in Hollywood right here.
You know who Andrew Garfield gets in real life?
Who's that?
Emma Watson.
Get out of here.
No, he does.
They look alike.
Well, they're both British.
The new Spider-Man looks like a big puss. I don't care.
But that's the deal with Spider-Man. Isn't he supposed to be a fag?
He's a little scrawny,
now,
I guess. But
now that they
Tobey Maguire at least buffed up for the part a little bit. As much as he could.
Listen,
this guy doesn't even look like he's got muscle. He looks like a twink. Anyway. All right. Hillbilly Hand Fishing with Jake Gyllenhaal. Get on down to that swimming hole, boy. I got to get out of here.
All right, you got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. So let's get out of here, shall we, everybody? We'll catch you next time here on Joel Radio. Don't forget to update the RSS feed. Look for that on joelradio.net. I'll have that updated for you probably before the next show airs. And that'll be done. I want to thank you all for listening this time, and we'll catch you next time on Joel Radio. Goodbye. See ya.